So I was just saying before we were unable to get a hold of each other, that are there really that many courses online that you can take?
There are plenty and plenty of courses. And one of the reasons I wanted to raise this evening isn't just to describe how many there are, but some of the circumstances for why we actually would use them and why they've become so much more common. So the starting point might be that matrix are celebrating, possibly finishing 12 years of education, thinking, well, that's more or less, you know, they're done with it. Of course, they're not. Most of them will need some tertiary education, as you were just discussing earlier. So their time behind a desk and learning isn't over. But for those who are already in careers, well, I'm afraid the bad news is you're very likely to have to go back and study again. In fact, I am of the opinion that learning now is a requirement throughout your entire life. And I'm basing this on something that Deloitte did back in 2016 already. They put together some research looking at sort of the length that people will need to be able to survive a career. So their starting premise was that people will probably look for lifespans of about 100 years. And so a career would probably have to cover 60 to 70 years worth of work. And on that basis, the average sort of job length that they expect people to have between moving between either an entire business or just one role to another to be about 4.5 years. Now, here's the thing that has changed remarkably, and it's the notion of a half-life of a skill. And it used to be at 30 years, and it's now somewhere in the region of 5. Sure. These skills, if we go back sort of to, let's say, 2 generations ago, when somebody had let's say shorthand, they could take shorthand, then they could expect that to be a kind of skill that they would have that would increase their opportunities for getting a job and being a relevant skill to have in a job for something like 30 years. If we have to consider what the modern day equivalent of, let's say, sending emails are, well, that in South Africa's context probably only became available sort of in the late 90s. It would have been a skill that people would have said, well, businesses are now looking for people who are capable and aware and know how to use emails. But by 2010, you know, 10 years later, it wasn't that the skill wasn't required. It was that it wasn't a skill that's going to differentiate you from another person. In fact, if you didn't have the ability to understand how an email system works, you probably couldn't be employed in that position. It was now just a basic requirement. And from the 2010s, you'd imagine probably a higher level sort of Excel, working on Excel documents, spreadsheeting, higher level word processing, and possibly sort of low levels of coding started to become an issue, working with data. By 2020, these things are starting to look like stuff.
I still haven't gotten the Excel situation right. I think Excel is probably one of the most difficult things you could actually learn.
Well, and this is kind of where we get to with these courses, because there is the basic sort of thing that if somebody sent you an Excel spreadsheet, you could open it and read kind of what's in there, and you could possibly make a small amendment or list a couple of figures and get a total out of it. But for what you can do on an Excel spreadsheet, particularly when you sort of know your skills, you can create very impressive, basically you can create programs inside of them. And so now the skill for somebody with higher grade sort of Excel skills becomes an employable skill. But the length of time that'll last, that's the bit that's changing. So that was the context for saying why these short courses are going to be useful, because effectively not everybody's just going to drop out of whatever it is they're doing and go and sign up to go and do another university course. And even if people have, for example, finished matric and they've signed up for a university course, it's quite likely that by the end of their degree, the demand for those skills, the actual job they'll wind up wanting to pursue and make a career of, has got nothing to do with their career. I think in both your and my cases, you're an account major, right?
I am, yes, an accountant by education, I suppose.
And here you are as a broadcaster. I studied public relations, and I'm sort of doing stuff that's more digitally related than the public relations that I train for. And for most people starting standard 6 at the moment, or grade 7, 8, they're probably going to only be looking at a career path that, for the most part, doesn't even exist yet, which is kind of crazy. Yeah. And so this is the reason for these interim courses to come about.
How do you trust the online course in particular that you end up taking? I mean, you know, because that becomes the issue, that you could go on and take on Trump University, but unfortunately that doesn't always work out.
That is a great point. And I would say for most of the courses, the reputable ones come from reputable universities. They themselves know they have a limited capacity for the number of students they can take in. And they're seeing an opportunity, not specifically to give you the full course. Remember, the idea of a short course, or as they often refer to you, are MOOCs. I don't know if you've come across the term before. It's becoming a little more common now. So these are massive open online courses.
Yeah.
And the deal there is not for it to be the be-all and end-all full-time degree type thing, but these introductory courses or backgrounds to get you to get a sense as to whether or not those are the fields you'll want to pursue further. So for somebody looking to go, or let me not say somebody looking to go, I would want to encourage everybody this year to do a short course on whatever it is they think they might be interested in. From something you simply have as a hobby or a little bit passionate about to something you think you can actually turn into a career. And the reason for it is if you don't do a short course, you don't get back in the saddle for learning to learn. And there actually are courses that simply will help you learn how to learn again. Because sure. If it has been a few years since you've last been in a classroom scenario, then that's probably very useful. And online, I've included it.
That's definitely the one for me. I need that one. That's
yeah, sure. and it's really quite amazing because again, there's assumptions we make about things we know, and the truth is, as time goes by, things change. Mm. So elements and things about the world that we had assumptions from our high school education or our tertiary education, well, that simply changed. It's half the reason why parents so often, when they're trying to assist their kids with schoolwork, will look at it and be dumbfounded because none of it seems to make sense compared to what they were taught. It's not because the kids have been taught something different or wrong. It's that what we were taught has simply been updated and changed. And the starting point would be to say, choose a subject that you're sort of passionate about. And online, I've included a list of places to get started. One is simply a list where you say, what are you kind of interested in? You might say, well, I'd like to know a little bit more about basic mathematics. Mm. And it'll tell you a whole bunch of courses from a bunch of really well-known universities that offer these introductions. And then you can take one of those. Some of them can be as short as a couple of hours only in terms of the amount of coursework you need to do. And for the most part, they'll probably be, over a couple of weeks with a couple of hours a week that you need to do to be able to get through it. Many of them will be free. What they do under those circumstances, they sort of tease you into what their other courses are like, get you sort of up to speed. Or the free courses, you don't get any certification at the end of it. But if you want to get the certification so you can actually use it as a credit or add it to your CV and say, listen, I have a new qualification now, well, then you pay your money and they'll certify you. And in that respect, it's really very good. But there's even a simpler starting point in that YouTube is, a real massive place to get a lot of things. And a lot of universities and people who are very good at explaining things will have channels on YouTube. So once again, if you want to learn something, I don't know, it could be a home skill. I think earlier you were talking about artisan skills being high in demand. Yep. The trick there might be is, well, how do I get access? Who's going to teach me how to do these things? Well, get onto YouTube. And of course, in South Africa, there still is the challenge with access to data and the bandwidth and the kind of devices you can watch it on. But if you can get past that, then YouTube certainly is a great resource for somebody to say, okay, well, let me just get comfortable with the terminology, with some of the tools, with sort of the applications that it can work. And then if you do really say, feel you've been fired up about it, then absolutely go and pursue that. Go and try and do an internship or a learnership somewhere to be able to do so. The other reason why I suggest these short courses are a good idea is that before you go and stump up to go to an actual institution, a college, university, whichever, that's quite a big commitment in time and resources and cash.
Yeah.
And so these short courses will give you a sense to say, listen, is this something I'm willing to pursue? Mm. Or maybe actually it sounded like a good idea at the time, but now having done a little bit of it, I don't think it's quite for me anymore.
Yeah. Look, I want to ask whether, I can add baking to my CV now, because I spent the festive season sort of learning how to bake, and I used YouTube and a little bit of Google for everything else in between there. So now, I mean, that was pretty much my short course in baking too. So I can add that to the plethora of the things that I can do perhaps.
You can, and you know why that is a really good one to do? And even though it might not make sense to you, baking is effectively a form of computational thinking. When you bake something, specifically baking, you have to do things in exactly a specific order, and you have to use specific proportions and amounts. I know you're being sort of facetious for suggesting.
Yeah.
It's an important thing. But a lot of the business these days is shifting the way we have to approach how we look at things. In the past, your gut might have been good enough to get you through most situations, and you sort of make it up as you go along. These days, with the amount of data that's available to you, the way you have to respond and the basis for responding is typically going to have a lot of data to either support or to go against the decision you make. When you understand baking proportions and having the actual amounts, knowing exactly how much, how hot, when do I do something, is actually very useful background for saying, approaching a decision about when you now need to, is this the good time to buy or do I wait a little longer? Well, what's the data that I have? How do I rate the data for its value? Hmm. And then applying it to the situation. And the other one, and I think this is also one of the areas that you're particularly passionate about, and it could be somebody in high school or in university in this case, and possibly studying a pretty impressive degree in university, odds are that university course is not preparing you for actually living, you know, living outside of university. So preparing you financially for what you need to know. A short course on financing, on you know, looking after your households.
Yeah.
Exactly. And those are the things that often sort of, they're assumed that we'll just pick this up somewhere. But the truth is we don't pick it up somewhere. Just filing tax returns and understanding how the tax codes and systems work is not something somebody's going to say, oh, I can't wait to learn about tax. Not that I'm, you know, anybody who does is anything wrong with it. But typically, we should know more about those sorts of things. Or insurance. You know, when to buy it, how much, when do you know you're going to get a good deal? So these are all opportunities for it. And the final one I'll mention for you.
Sure.
Is an organization called Brilliant, which is a good name for them. And this I would particularly recommend for you starting out or if you and your kids want to connect. Brilliant gives you sort of the foundational understanding of a lot of subjects that affect us all the time. Whether those be sort of the STEM type subjects, so it's the science and mathematical type things, or statistical things, which I think are absolutely fundamental for us understanding our probabilities and statistics, because we're getting so much more data, so we have to rely on it. So do one of these courses with, you know, on your own if it's quite high level, or start a real basic one with your kids and be fascinated again about what there is available to us and look forward to a lifelong of learning.
Colin, I'm definitely fascinated all around. Thank you so, so much. I think it's helped beyond just matric students. It certainly helped me a lot as well. And I think, as you said, looking out for those online courses as well, whether they be short, whether they be long, just really getting to decide exactly what it is that works, helps, and moves you ahead as well. Colin Cullis, Business Unusual correspondent on The Money Show. Thank you so much for your time.